It's time to talk food. It's time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us every Monday morning here on Robin Hood Radio, and we get to talk about FOOD. Morning, Arthur.
FOOD.
Yes, food.
Glorious food.
That's right.
From Oliver.
Oliver, that's exactly right.
Yeah. So, it's fig season.
Uh-huh.
If you have a fig tree in the northwest corner or the Hudson Valley, I'm sure it's not fruiting yet. Well, maybe some little green nubby things. But it's actually, the climate is not really seriously conducive to figs. However, I went to my market the other day and got a whole tray of really good, big Mission figs. The tray had 15 figs, and it was $10. That is cheap for a fig. I have no clue what they cost in Manhattan. I wouldn't even look because I'm sure I wouldn't want to. I couldn't swallow it. It would be so expensive. But around here, when I see them, they're certainly a dollar or more per fig, usually more. So when you get in, first of all, let me say, figs don't need any embellishment. No. You can just eat them the way they are. Some people peel figs. I think it's nonsense. 99% of the figs that we get in the U.S. are very thin-skinned. You don't have to do anything to them except rinse them off. If you want them cool instead of room temperature, which could be hot, 82 degrees today. So if you want them a little cool, I suggest you just put them in a bowl of cold water for a short time. By the way, I do that with grapes, too. Some fruit, you don't want to just start washing it. Anyway, it cools it off. In any case, I could eat the figs just the way they are. And when I had this big tray of figs, I did. But then we had some unexpected company. So I said, well, this is good. We have figs. We ran around the corner and got some prosciutto. And to me, that's one of the most divine food combinations there is, and luxurious. In that case, I took the little stem end off and cut the figs into quarters, head to toe, and wrapped little pieces of prosciutto around the fig and put a little toothpick in, and it's a bite size of food. It's not something for the plate. If you wanted something for the plate, you could just lay out the prosciutto and then put a few figs on the plate. Cut open would be nice because they're so beautiful inside. So that's my fig thing.
It's funny.
But then
it's funny you mentioned figs.
Pardon me?
It's funny you mentioned figs because my grandmother used to love figs. And other kids had bought stalwart fig Newtons. She made fig Newtons fresh at
home. But did she make her own filling too?
Yeah, she was a stickler for stuff like that. She got us to eat figs, sardines, everything kids wouldn't eat.
Oh, wow. Well, I must say, figs go with some of these. You mentioned sardines. If you're really into figs and sardines is a good combination. As is figs with a lot of different pork products, including bacon. I have had a figs wrapped in bacon and then broiled. Is very good. I would not turn that away. As I said, prosciutto. And I bought something the other day that I'd never seen before, and now I'm going to go back and talk to the deli guy about it. We were talking about pancetta and guanciale, and he said, oh, but I have a guanciale that you're going to love. Not to say I don't love. Guanciale is cured pork cheek meat. Actually, as my deli man said, it could be the cheek of a cow, too. Guanciale is generic for cheek. In any case, this is like a luncheon meat, you'd have to say, like head cheese. Now, guanciale, cheek meat, is very gelatinous. and has to be cooked a long time because it's very tough. I guess that's collagen that has to be broken down. Anyway, it's a form of protein, and when it's all broken down, you get a gelatin, you get a syrupy broth, and this is chilled. The guanciale is cut up into little pieces, and it's all bound by its own high-protein gelatin. It was very good, and that with the figs was terrific. And melon, of course, the classic. In fact, figs with prosciutto is apparently an older idea than melon with prosciutto. But these days, we often eat melon with prosciutto. Melons are very good right now, too. But the thing is, I put figs up. I mean, I preserve them. This is a recipe that I learned from Cecilia, but not really. Let me explain. It was one of her cooks, who I was friends with, Eugenia. Eugenia has moved on, meaning she came from the north, she went back. And now but she was working for Cecilia for years. And she was the one who put up the figs, figs in wine syrup, which Cecilia was selling at the farm as, she has a case full of homemade preserves and things like this that she sells under the Bella Baronessa label. The Bella Baronessa is a cute story. We were traveling, meaning Cecilia, Bob, and I were traveling together, and Cecilia left her scarf, a really good shawl-like scarf, at a restaurant. And when her son, Ettore, called the restaurant to see if they had her scarf, he referred to her as La Bella Baronessa. So we joke with her that she's the Bella Baronessa, but she actually had her a profile, a silhouette of herself, put on a label under this name, and she sells these products as Bella Baronessa. So I used to make these with Eugenia. It was because it was a project. I mean, we were making I don't know how many cases full of figs at a time. Now the figs in Italy in Pestum, and so as sold by Cecilia as La Bella Baronessa brand. By the way, you might even see it in some specialty food shops on the Amalfi Coast because she sells it through them too. Because, the farm is only about a half an hour or so from the Amalfi Coast. In any case, I used to make these with Eugenia, and they used these figs from Cilento, which is the mountainous area just behind them and south of them. And Pestum is considered to be like the gateway to the Cilento. It's on the plain, but very close to the mountains. And in Cilento, they grow these particular white figs that, like all figs, when they're fully ripe, disappear into rottenness within a day or two, meaning they're very difficult. You cannot keep them. So there are a lot of different ways people preserve their figs in Cilento. And by the way, figs in general grow wild all around the Mediterranean. It is, if you want to name the three most important crops around the Mediterranean, it would have to be olives and olive oil, wine, and figs. I've been to ancient ruins in Turkey and Morocco, and what's growing as weeds there? Figs. Interestingly, those fig trees, because when I see them, I ask about them, don't have fruit. They're just leaves. They're very big leaves. And if you think about it, that's what you would need to cover your genitals in the Garden of Eden. It is one of the fruits of the Garden of Eden. Anyway, back to cooking figs. Which, to me is not necessary, as I said. Just eating them like that's fine. By the way, before I forget, if you want them as a dessert, which, of course, because they're sweet, not with something salty like ham, a good thing to do is just some lightly sweetened whipped cream. Orange goes very well with figs, so you could drizzle them a tiny bit with an orange liqueur, but just the tiniest bit, a few drops, and then put some whipped cream on. Nuts, so you could put some chopped nuts on top of that, like hazelnuts are great, but even walnuts are great. And you can make mascarpone. You could whip up some mascarpone with cream, put that on top. So there are a lot of ways to go as a dessert. As I said, just eat them. But the figs and wine syrup is a way to preserve them until the next year when there are more figs. And this flat had 15 figs, and that would have been enough for my recipe. But my recipe calls for 20, because they're usually smaller than these that I bought. Anyway, back to Eugenia. So I used to make these with Eugenia. At least I did it at least twice, maybe even three times. Years later, when I was writing The Southern Italian Table and I wanted to put this recipe in, Cecilia, I said, do you have a written recipe? She said, I'm not giving it to you. She was keeping it a secret. I said, you can't keep it a secret from me. I made these for years. You weren't even in the kitchen. Anyway, just recently, when I served her some of my figs, which she had to agree were almost as good as hers. Of course, I don't have access to the same quality of figs that you can get right there in Cilento. But she said, well, why did you put a clove in? I said, because you always put a clove in. Your kitchen always put a clove in. Eugenia always put a clove in. We stood, and I said, it's a good memory for me, standing with Eugenia in the kitchen, putting cloves into hundreds and hundreds of figs. And she said, no, there are no cloves in it. Anyway, my recipe has cloves. And as many figs as you have is as many cloves as you need, because you're going to just poke one, like a little nail, into the bottom, the fat side of as many figs as you have. Now, my syrup is a red wine syrup. You can make a part, so I'll give that to you, and then you put the figs in. I just want to make sure that you have enough, no matter how many figs you're making, you have enough syrup to cover it, everything. So this amount, 1 1/4 cups of red wine, dry red wine, and 2 cups of sugar, this is a syrup, remember, is enough to cover 15 very large or 20 normal size purple mission figs. And then I stick a little piece of cinnamon, broken pieces. And you don't need more than a couple inches of cinnamon. Don't make it too cinnamony. Or, the one clove in each fig is perfect. So you rinse the figs quickly under cool water. Don't break if they're really super duper ripe. Be sure not to break them. If they're broken, eat them. You want whole figs for this. And in a 2-quart saucepan, and I'm specifying the size saucepan so that everything fits the way it's supposed to, combine the red wine and the sugar. Again, that's 2 cups of sugar and 1 1/4 cups of, it doesn't have to be important red wine, just some hearty red wine. I guarantee you, the wine at Celiano is particularly good, even though it's not special. So that's what I'm looking for. Good, but doesn't have to be special. You combine the wine and sugar, put it over medium heat, it's just making a syrup, bring it to a boil. As soon as it boils, the sugar should be dissolved. Add your piece of cinnamon stick, and then gently place the figs in the syrup. And I say gently, hold them by the stem end and dip them in. They should be just enough room to contain all the figs and enough syrup to go on top of them, but not by a lot. Now, here's the hard part in hot weather. They have to be simmered very, very gently, but steadily, for 3 hours. So that means checking in on them every 15, 20 minutes. when I say simmer gently, I mean like just the bare movement of the water. It's like almost poach. It's really, you could say, poaching, because you don't want a lot. You don't want it to be bubbling to the surface. And when I say 3 hours, I'm serious. 3 hours, because you're preserving. Allow the figs to cool in the syrup, and then you just pack them in a jar covered with syrup. Now, I almost always, well, I just not almost, I always have extra syrup. So I just put it in a bottle and keep it in the refrigerator. By the way, I store these in the refrigerator. Cecilia doesn't. I'm not sure exactly how she processes them, but if you pour your boiling syrup over the figs in a jar, they keep perfectly well in the refrigerator for a year. excuse me. The syrup, and I have some syrup in the refrigerator that's 2 years old, and I tasted it, well, I actually served it the other day on ice cream, and it's just as delicious. I mean, it's really well preserved. So that's it. Figs in red wine syrup. I guess Ms. Cecilia must have to heat process hers. It's not a high acid food. But I'm telling you, I've successfully kept them. Well, let me say, I was going to say I successfully kept them in the refrigerator for a year, except the figs themselves have never lasted a whole year.
That's right.
I do have syrup.
What do you do with the fig syrup? Vanilla ice cream?
Vanilla ice cream was perfect the other day. You could whip a little bit into whipped cream if you wanted to.
And put it on what?
I must tell you that I have been known to dip into the syrup with some seltzer to make a spritzer.
That's good. What?
Yeah,
would you...
I mean, it's delicious, delicious, figgy, winey syrup.
If you whipped a little whipped cream, put it in a little whipped cream, what would you put that on?
My finger?
Yeah, or maybe a piece of...
A piece of pie.
A piece of pie, or...
Or
a shortbread.
By the way, let's move on to cooking. And I don't
make pie very often,
like hardly ever.
She used to make...
A fig tart.
I was going to say, my grandmother used to make fig tarts. There you go.
Fig
That's
tart.
It.
I mean, you and it doesn't have to be...
They weren't too sweet?
No.
Pardon me? No.
I was just saying,
not
Marshall.
Necessarily. No. Well, what I would do is I would make some kind of almond cream, frangipane, to go on the bottom. Or even just, you know, I must say, a baked crust, or even an unbaked, let me say, an unbaked crust. I'm thinking through this. If you don't want to turn, I can't turn any heat on in my kitchen when the weather is like this, even on a dryish day like today. I do some cooking in the morning. But I'm not turning, it's just too hot. So you could make a refrigerator pie.
Yeah.
I guess you have to make some custard on top of the stove, pour it into whatever kind of crust you want. I mean, you could bake a crust, you could even buy a crust and bake it off, or I suppose why not even a graham cracker crust?
Why not?
Press into it, or a cookie crust that you just press into the dish, or even buy.
I would get little shortbreads.
And then, or shortbreads, that's a good idea. Or you want to do, you know, the kind of trifle-y thing. You could have stale pound cake on the bottom of a dish, douse it with a little bit of orange liqueur. I'm just making this.
Yeah, exactly.
Go.
And then
maybe a little jam, some dots of jam, custard, and then just raw figs, halved.
You know,
I'm eating that tonight.
Okay. No, I'm making one up. Is it basically
and with shortbread? That's great.
I'm making fig full. Watch this. Take the shortbread, crumble it. You know, kind of just crumble it up.
Yeah.
Make your fig. You throw in a couple of figs and make your fig whipped cream.
Listen, I'm back to eating the figs as it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Because to me, it's one of the ultimate. Hey. I was going to say more ultimate delicacies. Speaking of which, figs and foie gras.
Right.
On toast. there's some really good duck mousse and duck liver mousse and other from D'Artagnan. in the stores. I would buy a tub of that and serve it on some kind of great toast with a fig.
No, you could totally do that.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, you know, luxury on top of luxury.
Now, just...
Way to go. Wallow in it.
Yeah. Total digression. But this is something that your that your nephew would make and eat, and therefore his kids would eat, right?
What?
Figs.
A fig?
Figs and playing with figs and guanciale.
I don't know. I'll test it out on them.
Okay.
You know, kids are funny.
I understand.
They like fruit a lot, though. So
but parents are
would.
Funny. So I.
Yeah. By the way, figs are among the highest fiber foods in existence. So if you have any regularity problems, I can recommend figs. I can testify that they work. And if you can't get a fresh fig, a dried fig will do. The only problem with figs is, for me as a diabetic, they're not a good thing. They are very high in sugar. And I know, because I've tested this, that dried figs will send my blood sugar into wrong territory. So I'm very careful about that.
Okay.
That said, we finished all the figs. And I left the fig syrup off of my ice cream.
Okay.
Because it's like putting sugar on sugar. So we're at that stage of the year where I'm not going to be able to cook any day now. I did make a cold supper last night. Yesterday morning I made hummus and tarator, which is my... I used to make it a different way, but my new way to make tarator, which is sort of yogurt. I have to define it as yogurt with nuts. Except the nuts can be various nuts. And I used to make it with tahini, but now I make it with walnuts. So about a rounded quarter cup of walnuts, a clove of garlic, put it in my mini processor, keep pulsing and then whirling until I get basically walnut paste, and scrape that out and blend it in with... some full-fat a Greek yogurt. It's sensational. And no cooking involved. But we have also been going out, I confess, to a restaurant where they make things I could never make. Well, I could, but it doesn't pay because they make it so well. Anyway, it's a famous taco truck here in Brooklyn. People come from all over to 5th Avenue and 37th Street, across the street, from Greenwood Cemetery. There's a Mexican truck for the real Mexican taco experience. And by the way, I've done this in Mexico. You got to go to a taco truck, and there's a certain, let's call it ambiance, around the truck. We have a huge Mexican population. Next community over from Park Slope, Sunset Park. And Sunset Park's interesting. Good part of it is Mexican, and then another good part of it is Chinese. And there are some blocks where the Chinese and the Mexicans live together, which makes very interesting hot summers.
I was gonna say, the smells.
So back to this restaurant. It's called Tacos, plural, El Bronco. Bronco as in like horse. And there is a Bronco theme to both the mural in the front room and the cloud arrangement in the back room. So it's very well air-conditioned. It's very clean. It is not a dump in any way. I don't really enjoy the taco truck experience, but I love Tacos El Bronco restaurant. Oh, it's on 4th Avenue and 44th Street, right on the corner in Sunset Park. And 4th Avenue is a major, major through street in Brooklyn. Two lanes of traffic in each direction. Used to be three. Two lanes of, and it cuts from downtown Brooklyn, the Long Island Railroad Station, all the way to the Verrazano Bridge. So there is, however, some serious construction, underground construction going on 4th Avenue, because it's becoming a lot of not medium-rise new apartment buildings. So I guess they need more infrastructure. But somehow, I always find the parking space in front of Tacos El Bronco, which for me is almost as important as getting a great meal. So the great, at Brooklyn here, the great meal for me is there whatever the daily specials are I pick. I haven't had tacos there in a long time. But they have, like, home cooking daily specials. For instance, the other day I had a red pipián, which is like a mole except red and made with ground nuts, pepita nuts, which is why it's called pipián, with chicken stewed in it. Comes with rice and beans. I think it was $10. The other day I had something that I've had a few times here, and it's short ribs. They don't even give you the ribs. The meat has fallen off the bone, and they give you just really three huge chunks of meat, maybe more even, cooked in a sauce, a chili sauce made with morita chilies, which are a sort of like chipotle, but not as smoky as chipotle. And that also comes with rice and beans. That came with black beans. Anyway, they do have great tacos, burritos. I haven't yet ordered this, but I saw somebody have it the other day. They have a mixed grill that comes in on a heated molcajete, which is the mortar that you use to make guacamole. They put that in the oven with all these with shrimp and pork and chorizo and I don't and what all. Oh, and a whole. What is it called? Nopales cactus leaf, which it comes with my short ribs too. So it's real Mexican food. I think hard to find outside of a Mexican community. And by the way, this is a very well attended restaurant. It's not like a hidden treasure. It's a well known treasure.
Hmm. Sounds yummy.
4th Avenue and 44th Street.
So from figs to tacos.
And by the way, there's no meters on the side streets.
Oh, that's even better.
And on an alternate side of the street, parking ends at 1 o'clock on Tuesdays. So if you get there at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday, there's parking all over the place.
All right.
Very clever. You've got this one down.
Well, listen. If you live in an urban area, you need to know these things.
Oh, I agree. These are the little things that make life good. Marshall said,
"Yeah, you know, I mean, where you live, you can just park."
I know. It's a really weird concept when you can just park in your driveway for not $600 a month.
That's right.
Well, I have garage under the building, so that's a very princely thing.
Very. All right, Prince Arthur.
And I don't pay $600 in my own building.
Well, happy 4th of July.
Well, yes. By the way, I thought I was going to get away with not doing this year, but every 4th of July, I make Burt Green's ziti salad, which you can find on the internet. It's a well-distributed recipe. It's the best macaroni salad. I was going to talk about macaroni salad today too, but next week, because there was a Facebook controversy over macaroni salad recently. I'm a big fan of macaroni salad, especially on the 4th of July.
So you're teasing it, happy 4th, and love.
Well, you know, if you want the recipe, I've given out this recipe a zillion million times. It's from Burt Green's.
Right, and it's the one that requires George Washington.
Man who wrote for the Daily News when I was the food editor there. But we don't have time anymore.
That is true. And it
I'll
requires.
See you next week.
All right, thanks.
Take care, Arthur.
Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio. And you can find Arthur, of course, on demand at robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.